A number of years ago, there was a movie, a cowboy movie, starring John Wayne. John Wayne was on horseback, and a woman was lying on a rock holding a rifle. She was going to kill him because he had killed her kid brother. As he rides past, blam, he hits the dirt. She smiles, walks up, and kicks his body. Suddenly, he gets his arm and hits her in the back of the leg. She hits the dirt. Then he stands above her, and she looks at this great hulk of a man and said, "How could I have missed?" And then John Wayne, in typical John Wayne fashion, takes his big hand, cups blood from his shoulder, smears it across her jacket and says, "You didn't." Typical John Wayne. Tough. Well, that's Hollywood. But what about real life? Well, in real life, well, in Hollywood, John Wayne is the guy that's still shooting Indians with 200 arrows in his back. In real life, the way he died was completely different. When he was in hospital dying of cancer, he called for Billy Graham to come to his bedside to pray with him. You see, there's a Hollywood world and there's a real world. Now, the Hollywood part of you says, well, when your number's up, it's up. When you're dead, you're dead. I'm not scared of dying. But the real you says, oh, I don't want to die. You may remember some time ago that young Korean guy in his early 20s was taken by terrorists. They cut off his head. But just before they did, they put him in front of a video camera and let him plead for his life. And that young man looked at that camera and said, oh, I don't want to die. And you and I identify with that because we're human beings. We too have something within us that says, I don't want to die. That's our God-given will to live. And that's what I want to appeal to just for a moment this morning. Your will to live. I'm asking you to set aside that proud, egotistical Hollywood part of you that puts up that front, and that you humble yourself today and soften your heart, because if there's one chance in a million, the Bible's right when it says Jesus Christ has abolished death, you owe it to your good sense just to listen. The Bible tells us there was a certain man whose ground brought forth plentifully. That is, he had a bumper crop. He says, man, what'll I do? He says, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll build bigger barns and stack the crops in my barns. Then I'll lay back and say, oh, well, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. And the Bible says, God said to that man, you fool, tonight your soul is required of you. And then Jesus said, so is he who is rich toward himself and is not rich towards God. What does that mean, rich toward God? Does God want your money? Well, no, despite what televangelists tell you, God doesn't need your money, he doesn't want your money. When the Bible speaks of being rich towards God, it's speaking of something different. You see, when you're going to court, if you've transgressed the law, you are in debt to the law. You're in debt. The law demands payment, whether it be you going to prison or a monetary payment. And the Bible says you and I aren't rich towards God at all. We're actually in debt toward him because we've broken his law. You say, what law are you talking about? Well, the Ten Commandments, the moral law. Take, for instance, the Tenth Commandment. You shall not covet. Do you know what that means? That means it's a command, you shall not desire anything that belongs to another person. His Mercedes, his wife, his house. Whatever he's got, the Bible says, don't you covet it. God says coveting is wrong because it leads to all sorts of transgressions. You covet something before you steal it. You covet a woman before you commit adultery with her. Let's go to the adultery one. You shall not commit adultery. But listen to what Jesus said. He said, but I say to you, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Let's go to the stealing one. You shall not steal. Have you ever stolen anything in your life? Irrespective of its value, then you're a thief. Or you shall not bear false witness. Have you ever lied? Even one lie. Then you're a liar. And the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. And when you look at God's law, it shows us we're in debt to it. In fact, the Bible says we are weighed in the balance of eternal justice and we are found wanting. That is, we're in debt. Payment must be made. Look at the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. Is God first in your life? Do you love the God who gave you life? Are you thankful? Are you grateful to him? Everything you have comes from God. Every meal you eat, man, I went for 22 years as a non-Christian, eating my food without giving God thanks. I mean, what do you think of a little kid? You give him some candy, he just snatches it and walks off. You feel like grabbing that kid and say, hey kid, learn some manners, learn some gratitude. And yet for 22 years, as a non-Christian, that's what I was like. I used to eat meals without giving God thanks for them, just hogging like a fat little brat. I'm thankful, although God gave me the liberty of this country, an abundance of food. The Bible says we're unthankful, we're ungrateful, we're rebellious by nature. Ever use God's name in vain? You say, oh yeah, a bit of a habit. You've taken the name of the God who gave you life, gave you eyes, ears, a brain to think with, the freedom of this land, the abundance of food, and you've used his name as a cuss word to express disgust. That's called blasphemy. Can you see how we're in debt to eternal justice? And on the day of judgment, the Bible says there'll be hell to pay. That is, God's prison is awaiting you because you cannot pay your fine yourself. You cannot make yourself rich towards God. You cannot balance the scales. But the Bible says God is rich in mercy and he provided a way for you to be forgiven. He paid your fine himself in the life's blood of his son. God became a perfect human being in Jesus Christ, a morally perfect man, and he gave his life as a sacrifice for the sin of the world. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made righteous in the sight of God. And when someone repents and puts their trust in Jesus Christ because of his suffering, death, and his resurrection, God not only forgives their sins, but he makes them righteous. So that person suddenly becomes rich towards God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God can forgive your sins and grant you everlasting life if you repent and trust in Jesus Christ. That means don't just confess your sins to a priest. Don't just confess your sins to God. Confess and forsake them. Turn from all your sin. And the second thing you should do is trust in Jesus Christ. Don't just believe in Jesus intellectually, but entrust yourself to him, like you trust an elevator. You don't just believe in an elevator, it won't get you to the 10th floor. You must trust yourself to it. Do that with Jesus Christ. And the moment you do that, God will forgive your sins. He'll grant you the gift of everlasting life. He'll give you a new heart with new desires. You'll be born again. Suddenly you'll become God conscious. You're like a blind man at the moment. Well, God will open your eyes to the glory of his creation. Instead of just seeing a tree, you'll see that's the creative handiwork of the genius of Almighty God. I once was blind, but now I see, says the hymnist. And that's what will happen to you the moment you repent and trust in Jesus Christ. And folks, please do it today. Don't wait until tomorrow. You may not have tomorrow. Tonight, God may say to you, you fool. Tonight, your soul is required of you. So get right with God today. Repent, trust in the Savior. God will forgive your sins and grant you his gift of everlasting life.